Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Dan podcast, Shawnee J and I are back in business, and we get you caught up on Lions training camp, what we've been doing since we've been away, and we play another game of Hell Yeah or Hell Nah. All this and more coming up right now on the Die Hard Dan podcast. Watch out. Here comes that roar. What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to the Die Hard Den podcast. And as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
Hey, good people. We back after a few weeks off.
Hey, man. It's good to be back. It's been quite a while since we talked to you all. And Shawnee J, let the people know what you've been up to since we've been gone.
Well, people, I love the show, but outside the show, I'm a very busy man. I work a lot of hours, as Curtis knows, busy man. But I'm glad we're back. I always got to make time to do the Die Hard Den podcast.
All right. So what I've been up to since we've been gone is I've been in school. I'm in the sportscasting degree program at Folsom University, and I've been in some tough, hard classes a couple at a time. So I really didn't have time to do the show. So I've been busy, and our equipment went down. The MacBook Pro that I usually do the show on, record the show, had to go into the shop. We had some display damage, so I couldn't record the show with my man, Shawnee J. But we put it in the shop, we got it fixed, and now we're back and ready to go. So, you ready to start the show, my man?
Yes, I am.
Let's get it going. It is always, as we do at this time, it is time to tell me something good. Shawnee J, you up first. Tell me something good.
Well, as you know, we're still going through this COVID-19 thing. Mm-hmm. The NFL is going to try and push through it and play this season on time. A few Lions went into COVID protocol, including star quarterback Matthew Stafford, but thankfully he never had the Rona, a lot of people feared. We'll get into that later, more into that later. And all the Lions are back on the field, you know, no more testing positive. So let's hope it stays that way. Let's hope for a 16-game season. All NFL teams stay healthy. Don't try to send no girls into the hotel, and we should be good.
We'll talk about that later. Oh, man, that was a story. So what I have this week for Tell Me Something Good is Tracy Walker. Now, Tracy Walker's cousin, Ahmaud Arbery, was a victim of a senseless crime earlier this year down in Georgia. He will pay honor to his cousin, Ahmaud Arbery, with the social justice decals on his helmet this season, along with some messages on his cleats for his cousin. So shout out to Tracy Walker for showing the love and support for his slain cousin. And we look forward to seeing him pay tribute to him during the season. Now, if you don't know, that is the reason why Tracy Walker switched to number 21. That was Ahmaud Arbery's number in high school. So, Tracy Walker, big shout out to you. Keep doing your big things on the field and keep your cousin's memory alive. So, let's get into some camp news. First up, we got DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift is making an impression in camp with his receiving skills. What do you have to say about my man DeAndre Swift doing his thing, coming out the backfield?
You know, it's great. I know he's a talented guy. They draft him high for a reason, second round. Mm-hmm. It's good he can catch the ball. It's good to have a second skill. But I'm more concerned, can he be that star running back for us? Can he carry the ball? Can he go for about 1,500 a season? If he can't run, if he catch the ball off the backfield but can't run, basically we have Theo Riddick all over again. And I love Theo. And I think it'd be a 1,000-yard receiver running back type, like Marshall Faulk or Roger Craig or something like that. But that didn't quite work out. And, you know, like I said, it's great that Swift catch the ball, but can he rush it? That's the question. That's what we drafted him for.
Well, all right, here's my take on that. I understand what you're saying, but I'm not surprised that DeAndre Swift can catch the ball out of the backfield because he played receiver earlier in his career at Georgia. He played behind players like Nick Chubb, and he didn't have a chance early in his career to get on the field. Now, with that being said, I don't have to see a problem with him running the ball. I think he's a runner first, but he developed his receiving skills getting on the field when he was a younger player. But I don't see him having a problem running the ball. I just think that it's an additional skill where he can be a dual threat. He's coming out of college as a three-down back, and that's how they drafted him. They build him as a three-down back. So I think that that's going to be an additional skill that can help him push for that starting role against the next guy we're going to talk about. Coming into camp, we always know that Kerryon Johnson has an injury bug. And if you look on your screen right now, you see Kerryon Johnson has a huge knee brace on his right knee. I think it's the same knee that's given him problems the last few years. So what is your thoughts on Kerryon with the big knee brace, my man?
Well, once again, I like Kerryon. He's a talented guy, but he has problems staying healthy. And that's why I've been, you know, I'm campaigning for the Lions to take another running back. You know, I want Jonathan Taylor, but I digress. We got Swift. Hopefully, you know, Swift, he sat out today's practice because he had a minor injury. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's minor and they don't want him to take a chance. He wants to stay in for the season in a couple weeks. All the top three running backs are injured, a little banged up right now. Kerryon, Swift, and Bo. What is it about those SEC running backs? They can't stay healthy. I don't know what it is. Yeah, but those SEC guys seem to have trouble staying healthy. Or is this just a coincidence?
Yeah, I think it's just a coincidence. It's camp. You know, I'll say this. I expected a little more injuries this offseason just because of the fact that you got guys in the league, man, where they don't have any training camp. You know, they didn't have any OTAs, so they're still getting the shape. Right. So, you know, I'm not really fretting on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even tripping on it. You know what I'm saying? So I just think it is what it is at this point. All right. So next man in the chute is the young guy, the young receiver, making big plays and turning heads in camp. Quintez Cephas. Cephas is doing his thing in camp. He is making some big plays, contested catches, good strong hands with a good catch radius. So I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Quintez Cephas in camp.
Me too. I like the man with Wisconsin. You know, we all know what he went through, that criminal trial, you know, for sexual misconduct, which I thought from the beginning was bogus, and I'm glad it got off. You know, one thing the rap against Cephas was he didn't have great speed. He didn't really get 40 time at the combine or a pro day. Only had a 4.7 or 4.8, which is slow for a wide receiver. Yeah. Wide receivers, this makes his living off speed and good hands. I mean, if you have speed, you can't beat nobody. You're useless as a receiver. But Quintez is a nice body. He's built more like a running back instead of a wide receiver. Nice muscular body. He has good, strong hands. I mean, he might be a good possession receiver. He might not be a deep threat. But a guy who can, you know, reliable, you know, a guy go to on third down, you know, catch those passes. So, you know, everybody can't go catch for 20, after 20 yards the reception. But he's the guy to pick up those first downs, the crucial moments, and he can fight for the ball. Yes, he's very strong. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised we drafted him, but I was pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we have him, and I'm rooting for him, as well as my other. You know, I got to go with Bo, those two Badgers.
You go with that Bo guy. All right. But I like Quintez Cephas. I think a lot of people are comparing him to a young Anquan Boldin. He got that same big body type. He can wrestle the ball away from a defender. So I see big things happening for my man Quintez Cephas. So keep balling, young fella. And hopefully we see some big things for you in the future here in the D. So next up is Big V. Now, Big V is settling in at right tackle, and he's got some good praise from the new offensive line coach, Hank Fraley. So Big V at right tackle. What do you think at Big V coming into the season?
We need him. He was the very first free agent we signed this past offseason. A lot of people think thought that the Lions overpaid for him. Mm-hmm. They thought he was something more than a glorified backup. But, you know, Quinn and Patricia saw something. He has good size. They, you know, they say his run pass blocking is weak, but he's a mauler. He's the guy in the running. That's why he's a right tackle. They wouldn't run the ball, you know, like Wisconsin Badger style. You know, so I think he'd be just fine. I love his size. You know, I love my big offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I love pounding the ball. So put Big B next to Big V and on the right side, and we'll have a powerful offensive line.
Okay. All right. So speaking of the right side of the offensive line, in the position you just said, the young fella is in camp holding it down. Jonah Jackson has been splitting a lot of the first team reps at right guard with Kenny Wiggins, but he's primarily been in the first team for the majority of the camp with the first team at right guard. Now, reports are he's solidifying his position on the offensive line, that he has maturity, and the way he's been performing is that he's going to push for the starting right guard position. Now, that's one thing I did say. We made our predictions earlier this offseason. I said I think right guard is going to go to Jonah Jackson. So, Jonah Jackson, right guard, what you got?
Well, you know, he's a former Buckeye. He's a former enemy. But, you know, I wish him well. I wish, of course, Okuda well, any other Buckeye again. I wish the guy who just went down, Jason, you know, Jason, who's on the reserve, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, who got injuries, ruptures Achilles, I report that in the group. I wish him well. You know, they're Lions now. They're no longer Suckeyes. They're no longer the enemy. They're on my Lions now. And, it, you know, I'm rooting for them. I'm all for them. I love them like they're my sons. I want them to see them succeed. If Jonah Jackson's the best option at right guard, you know, better than both, so be it. But I'm rooting for the kid. They draft him third overall. Now, Trenton Ford, he was a 3-year starter at Rutgers. He's played his final year at Ohio State. Is that what happened?
Yes, that's correct.
So, yes, okay. So, So, he's a good player. He didn't get noticed at Rutgers. He didn't get recognition to go to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But that's fine. If he can help my Lions, him and Okuda, and Taylor Decker, I'm all for it. So go Buckeyes, go Lions.
Okay. All right. So speaking of another former Buckeye, Jeff Okuda. Now, I will say this. Jeff Okuda has spent time with the second team, but he has been making some plays the last few days. So what do you think about him starting off the camp with the second team?
Well, once again, you know, the third pick overall, people, blogs and magazines have been picking him to go to the Lions third months before the draft. And people say he's the best pick for the Lions, and the Lions took him. Now, just like Matthew Stafford and Joey Harrington and other high picks, there's a lot of expectations on him. He started off kept kind of slow, which was kind of disheartening. I posted a couple things in the group about him. The rookie from last year, Monty Arroyo, mm-hmm. out of Penn State, he's been playing hard. Some say he's outplaying Okuda. But Okuda, he stepped out of his game. We need him to play. You know, it's fine if Arroyo plays well. We have two young cornerbacks, which would be great mm-hmm. for our secondary. Both so for the secondary. So I'm all for Arroyo being pushed, push Okuda. You know, we have two good corners in the future, maybe this year. You might be best true fun if Rory is really that good and the Okuda lives up to his billing.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. He's a rookie. No spring. He didn't have any, you know, spring workout. Now, they say the last few days he's been getting a lot better. And he is the only cornerback to have an interception against Matthew Stafford in camp. He had one today. Now, Stafford says, quote, didn't count. It was a free play. But he still picked off Matthew Stafford. And he's the only one to do so. And he's a rookie. Now, today he was with the first team primarily because of Desmond Trufant set out. So I think he's making strides. I know Tim Tuneman said this morning on Lions Camp Live on their YouTube channel that he's made some strides. He was getting some first team reps yesterday, made some big plays. And that it's just knocking some rust off. So And one thing I did read is that some of the Lions' veteran receivers like Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay were skipping the line in one-on-one drills to match up against the young fella to show him what he will be up against during the season. So on Sundays during the season. So they wanted to show him how they would be matched up with some primetime receivers. So they wanted him to have that experience in camp so he can knows what it feels like to go against big time receivers.
That's a good strategy. Yes. Put your best against Akuda, because when he plays the Bears and the Vikings and the Packers, they're going after him. They're not going to have any sympathy for him. They're going to attack him. So, oh, here's a rookie. Let's try and beat this rookie, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's a good strategy. Give him baptism on the fire. Mm-hmm. Yes, sucks that nobody had an off season really because of the COVID. No one had any OTAs or mini camps, no preseason games. Get ready. So ready or not, here it is, rookie. Welcome to the NFL.
Right. And the interception came against Marvin Jones. I really want to talk about him, but just real quick, he's coming into camp looking excellent. He's in great shape. If you looked at some of his Instagram feeds and some of the stuff he had on Lions.com, where he really dedicated to getting his body into shape this offseason. He had a sand pit built on his home property out there in California. He can run in the sand, toughen those legs up. He came into camp looking ready to go. So I think Marvin Jones is going to have a big season. So
he's 30 now. He's getting older. He knows he has to. Yeah. He wants that new contract. He has to really come bring it.
Yeah, he's got to bring it. So I think he's going to have a big year opposite of the big man, Kenny Galladay. So next up, next person in the shoot, Matthew Stafford. Stafford is going to Stafford. If you looked at any of the limited amount of film that the Lions are putting out from camp, Stafford looks like himself. He's out there whipping the ball around. He's in control of the offense. Stafford's looking like himself minus the COVID scare, and he looks like he's fully healed and ready to go. So what do you think about my man Stafford doing his thing in camp?
Welcome back, franchise quarterback. Yeah. I can't believe Lions fans want to trade him. You know, Bill Belichick would love to give him this offseason. Ooh. I bet you some other teams would love to have
him. It's a whole bunch of teams that would love to have Matthew Stafford.
if Stafford went to the Patriots, they wouldn't miss Tom Brady at all. I mean, they used to be Super Bowl contenders. And Lions fans don't know, they can't appreciate what they have till it's gone. It's like, you see all these former Lions, like a good example is the former linebacker who went to New England,
He's down there.
Van Noy.
He's down there. He's down in Miami now playing for the
But we went to the, exactly, he left New England. But when he went to the Patriots, started balling, won two Super Bowl rings. Lions fans will lament, oh man, They always do that after a guy goes away and has success somewhere else. Believe me, if Stafford went to the Patriots or the Cowboys or somebody like that, then he will want a Super Bowl ring for sure this year. But I want to see him get that Super Bowl ring here in Detroit. And Stafford, he played his heart out. He played hurt. He played through a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. He didn't miss a game in almost 10 years until last season. So I can't believe the disrespect that Lions fans have for Stafford. Another thing, remember I said this before, a graphic when the Lions paid the Packers a few years ago, back in the early 2000s before Stafford came. Mm-hmm. In the last 25 years, Packers only had two quarterbacks, Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for the most part. And the same amount of times, the Lions had about 25 quarterbacks or something like that.
Yeah.
So he finally solidified the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I don't get Lions fans. They're never satisfied. They don't know a good thing and slap them in the face.
Hey, sometimes it is. Like I say, what Michelle Obama says, sometimes it is what it is. All right, so last update in the camp. Darrell Bevell is in command of this offense. He is out there teaching those guys. There's a YouTube clip of him out there running around in camp. I think that the offense is going to be better the second season under Bevell. He's going to have Stafford for the full season. So Bevell, camp, What you got?
Yeah, I like Gerald. If the Lions offense is successful, I think it will be, you know, they're going to have Bevel for long because he's going to be offered head coaching jobs before long. Mm-hmm. Right. So hopefully, once again, the Lions will, you know, hopefully he sticks around for at least 2 Super Bowls. I mean, I think the Lions got a legitimate shot this year, even though they came up for 3-12-1 season. Mm-hmm. That's because they had a ton of injuries. But get our players back. And like I said, Bevel, he got some playmakers on offense. I think we have a legitimate, got the franchise quarterback back. I think we have a legitimate shot. We stay healthy. Like I said, but if we win all, he's gonna get so many head coaching jobs, it'll be almost impossible to keep him. So let's enjoy him while we have him, people.
All right. Hey, that was our training camp news. Hey, thank you for tuning in to the Die Hard Den podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell so you can get some fresh content from us. If you're watching on Facebook, hit the like button, share it with your friends, and please subscribe to our Facebook page. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, thank you again for tuning in to our show, and thank you for the download, and keep on with the Die Hard Den podcast. All right, moving on. It is time for our favorite segment of the show. You know what it is, Shawnee J. It is time to play Hell Yeah or Hell Nah. You ready to go, my man?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
This looks like this is my favorite game.
All right. So, first up, the Lions will continue to struggle to close out games in 2020. Hell Yeah or Hell Nah?
I don't say hell no. Contingent, like, you know, we'll get that ball control running offense, get our running game going. That's what we need, a running back. You know, control the football, run out the clock, protect the lead. And I just don't want to sell on the lead. I want Bevel to be aggressive. I want to pad the lead, not just to protect a slim 3-point lead and get conservative. I still want to be aggressive. I want that killer instinct. And I think the Lions, you know, they might have that killer instinct. You see those T-shirts they're putting out?
The dagger time. Yeah, dagger time, baby. They want to close them games out. Hey, I'm going to say hell yeah. Hell nah. They're going to not going to struggle with closing out games. They are going to hold it down this season, and they are going to close out games. So that's a hell nah for me too. They are not going to struggle to close out. Matthew Stafford says he's making a point this year to close it out with a dagger time. All right, next up, Jonah Jackson will be the starter at right guard this season. Hell yeah or hell no?
Well, if things continue on the pace, if he's as good as he's playing, you know, and can practice like they say he is, I got reluctant to say hell yeah, because, you know, like I said, you know who I want there, the right guy. You know, I'm not going to say his name, you already know.
Here we go. But yeah, I got you.
But if Jackson is out playing him, if Jackson's out playing everybody else on the roster, is out playing Stenberg, who I thought might have a good shot, one of the guard positions, and Joe Dahl, you know, those guys. If he earned it, he earned it. I mean, if he deserves it, he deserves it. And if he can make the Lions a better team, he can protect the franchise quarterback, open holes for our running backs, I'm all for him starting. So if he's really as good as they say he is, I'm going to say hell yeah.
I'm going to say hell yeah. You already know I picked him to be my starting right guard at the beginning of the season. So next up, Kenny Galladay's contract will get done before the start of the season. Hell yeah or hell no?
I don't know. We only got a couple weeks before the season starts. So, but I'm kind of torn. I'm on the fence on this. I want to see him get it done. I don't want to be a distraction going through the season. Mm-hmm. I want Kenny to get paid. I want him to see his security. I want his concentration to be on the field, not worry about getting hurt or getting that contract. I want him to secure the bag. So if Quinn is smart, I'm going to say, hell yeah, you better sign him. Quinn, you're brought here to build a winner, not let good players get away. You take care of your players. That's what you was brought here for. And Quinn, both you and Patricia are on the line. She's just like anybody else. Let's not forget.
All right. So I'm going to reluctantly say, hell no. Nah. I don't think it's get done before. I don't think it gets done before the start of the season, but I think it gets done during the season. I know that Lions usually doesn't do deals during the season, but I think it gets done before his contract is up. So I think he gets an extension this year. Shout out to my man, J-Mo, 313 J-Mo of the DSA. And I'll say his famous phrase, pay Golladay. That's what he says over there at the DSA. So big shout out to our friends over at the DSA. All right. Next up, the Lions defense will rank in the bottom of the league versus the run again in 2020. Hell yeah or hell no?
I'm going to say hell no because we got two good, pretty good run stuffers, you know, and Danny Shelton and the guy we got from Chicago. I like Sean Hand.
Nick Williams.
You stay healthy. Nick Williams, right.
Yeah.
And the Sean Hand. We brought some linebackers in. Tyvay's a good run stuffer. So, no. Well, once again, we got to stay healthy and produce. And everybody does their job. And we say, hell no, we're going in the top 10, not the bottom 10 run stuffing.
I'm going to say hell yeah, unless they make a significant move to get another good defensive tackle into the fold. I'm just not really sold on the defensive tackles right now. I know Shelton's good, but he was a rotational player at New England. I know he was drafted high out of college out there in Denver, but has he really been a sustainable starter at defensive tackle? I'm still not sold, so I'm gonna say hell no on that one. All right.
The Snacks, Harrison, I'm sorry, just digress a little bit. The Snacks, Harrison, sign of anybody?
I don't think, not that I know of. He's still out there on the free agent tracker. All right, so next up. Now that he's completely healed or completely healthy, Trey Flowers will lead the NFC North in sacks. Hell yeah or hell no? Nah.
Well, I'm going to be realistic. I'm going to say hell no, but he's still going to have a good season. He's going to get at least 10, 11. But it's a possibility because he said NFC North, not the conference, just the conference, the division.
Yep, just the division.
Right. And what's his name is gone from Minnesota. He signed with Dallas.
Oh, Everson Griffin. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a good possibility. I'm on the fence. I would like to say hell yeah, but I don't want to say like a homer, too much for homer. Got to be fair and realistic. I'm going to say hell no, but he would still have a good season, at least 10, 11 sacks.
I'm going to say hell no as well. Looking at the Bears and the Packers, look at those Smith brothers up there. Well, you know, they're not really brothers, but up there in Green Bay. And then Khalil Mack down there in Chicago. Yeah, I'm going to say hell no as well. All right. The Lions still need to sign a defensive tackle. Hell yeah or hell no?
Well, the way they're acting, the answer is hell yeah, because I just posted in the group, they brought in five more defensive tackles to work out today. They're not satisfied with what they have already. They're still looking for defensive tackles. There's no big names. They're bringing in a lot of guys they never heard of. Only big name tackle out there, I guess, is Snacks, and they just got him. I don't think he wants to come back to Detroit. So hell yeah, because they're still looking. They admit they need at least some depth, but I think, you know, you should go with what you have. I like, you know, the Sean Hand tackle. I like Pennicini, the rookie they drafted. You know, go with what you have, you know, because can you find anything better on the streets at this point?
Yeah, because looking at the defense of the guys that really can play defensive tackle, you got Williams, Shelton, Strong, Pacini, Deshaun Hand, and Sapoola are our guys. You know, you got a couple of guys that can play both defensive end and defensive tackle in that group. You know, Pacini and Hand, they can go play inside and outside. I'm still not really satisfied, so I'm going to say hell yeah as well. All right, next up. No one from the Lions will make an all-pro team this season? Hell yeah or hell no? Nah. That's first team or second team all-pro. No one will make it.
Hell wrong. No, because already we got the best center game, you know, in Rag now. So he's going to definitely sneak first or second. He's probably first team as a starting center in the Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. And we got some other guys like Stafford. He's going to be a comeback player. He's going to be I think it's going to be a Pro Bowl, you know, first team, second team quarterback. And don't forget about the receivers, Galladay and Marvin, Starvin Marvin. Plus, we got some good guys on defense. So we're going to have a share of Pro Bowlers and first team, second team, you know, NFL guys. So there you have it.
You think so?
Yes.
I'm going to say hell yeah. No one from the Lions will make the All-Pro team this year. The Lions just don't get the respect. And I'm not saying that no one's worthy. And don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying that if Frank Ragnow has a wonderful season like he's supposed to, and he's coming in very confident. I know there's some articles floating around about him and his confidence coming into his third year. And Hank Fraley, I listened to him this morning, spoke very highly of Frank Ragnow. And he was one of the top centers ranked on PFF. But I just think the Lions don't get the national respect that the team, I won't say they should get, but they just don't get the national recognition because they don't win. So I would think.
Well, start winning some games, you will get that respect. Yep. Start winning.
So I'm going to say, hell yeah, no one from the Lions makes the All-Pro team this year. All right, last one. The Lions can make a deep playoff run with their current roster. Hell yeah or hell no?
Hell yeah. Always the Super Bowl, baby. You know, the man is back. Come back, play of the year. He's going to have a running game, a strong offensive line to protect them, a running game to protect them. Now, I was up to the defense to do their job, hold it down. And I'll say, yes, hell yes, we have the roster.
A deep playoff run. Deep playoff run is, to me, is NFC Championship game or
Super Bowl.
I'm going to say hell no. And the reason being is that I'm still not sold on the defensive line. I'm not sold on the rotation and the depth of the offensive, achieving the defensive line. The offense, I think we can handle it. You know, I think we got some decent depth on the offense. But on that defense side of the ball, I'm still a little leery, so I'm going to say hell nah. All right, that's it for hell yeah or hell nah this week. So, again, thank you for watching or the Die Hard Den podcast. If you're tuning in on YouTube or Facebook, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, again, thank you for the listen. All right. Next up, 2 points conversing. All right. First up is Shawnee J. What was your reaction to Matthew Stafford hitting the COVID list?
Everybody panic. I shut up. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I don't have to say it on my show. You can edit it out if I can, but thank God it turned out to be a false report. I mean, and they really pissed off Kelly, his wife, and she went on a tirade. Excuse me. She was saying that people were treating them, her kids unfairly. They didn't want to be around the kids. They didn't want to be in the same room or just go to the grocery store or school or couldn't go to play for the kids because, you know, it caused the staffers some pain and some suffering, some embarrassment, and she wasn't taking it lightly. Kelly's a firecracker. We know who runs the pants in that household, but that's why we got to keep her happy and healthy so Stafford can play. Come on, play. but I love Stafford, and I'm glad he's healthy. He's the man. The man is back. I mean, I want to see healthy. Like I said, I want the running game to protect him. I want the offensive line to protect him. I want him to see him win, at least come back player of the year, which I think he will, and he doesn't have to throw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, but he's going to have a good, he can more like a game manager, if you will, make some good plays, some good throws, and that'll be sufficient to take us all the way.
All right. So I'll tell you, we discussed this when we talked on Facebook Messenger when he first hit it, And I said I wasn't surprised. And the reason why I wasn't surprised is that one of the players that was on that list that Matthew Stafford worked out in the offseason, that was Nada, the tight end out of Georgia, was on that list. And I was like, it didn't surprise me. Now, come to find out, it wasn't linked to Nada at all. It was a false positive. But he was the biggest name in the league that hit the COVID list. So I just think that the league needs to do a better job. Now, along with Kelly blasting the league, man, that was something that I understand where she's coming from. And I understood that you put his family in a bad position where, you know, his kids couldn't go play. His wife couldn't go to the grocery store. The MLB doesn't report COVID like an injury. You know, they'll say we've had 3 players test positive or 4 players test positive or 2 players test positive and a staff member, but you don't see the names come out. And I think that's one thing that the NFL kind of got wrong. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, if you got a player, you can't list it as an injury like you do a swollen ankle because it's not the same. You know, you're looking at something that's infectious, and then you run into, especially with a false positive like the Stafford's situation, and you can cause turmoil for not only that player, but that player's family.
Exactly. And embarrassment and turmoil and scrutiny, you know. It's like they have the plague or the bubonic plague or something. So, yeah, but I'm glad, you know, he doesn't have him. I want to see him stay healthy. I want to see everybody stay healthy, you know, this season. Not even non-Lion players. So,
yeah.
Let's speak this COVID.
All right, so next up, we got Kelly Stafford. Now, I'm going to read this to on the show. I'm going to read it straight off her Instagram page, which is on the graphic on the screen. It says, when Colin Kaepernick knelt during the national anthem, I had strong feelings about it, even when he kept saying it had nothing to do with the flag or the military, I didn't listen. I kept not listening to him or anyone else, and let the political rhetoric persuade me that him kneeling was disrespectful to our military. Over the past several months, I have opened my ears, my mind, and my heart, and it has opened my eyes to see how wrong I was. And for that, I am sorry. Now, I will say this. Is it behind the times? Kind of similar to that Drew Brees type deal. I won't say it's exactly the same because she didn't come out and just say out. She wasn't outwardly saying it. So this was something that she believed, but she didn't make a public statement about it like Drew Brees. However,
and plus she's not on the team. She's a player's wife.
She's a player's wife. But I think it was a big of her to admit that she was wrong. Because some people can get into a mindset and be closed-minded and not really listen to what's really going on. They can just close their mind and their hearts off because they feel a certain way or they've been led to feel a certain way. So I will say that's a big pill for her to swallow publicly. You know what I'm saying? Because she didn't have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So... I would say I give her a kudos for coming out and say that she was wrong. Now that comes on the really, I won't say it's the heels of her and Matthew starting a social justice initiative at University of Georgia. Now their first donation was $350,000, but it is now up to $1.5 million. For social justice issues and initiative at UGA. So now I will say that normally that would be part of Tell Me Something Good, but I had to include that first part for context for myself and for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it had to be an awakening for her to even really her and her husband to pledge that money she had to come off of that stance. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So,
and plus, we don't, you know, she's not the only, I'm sure she's not the only player's wife or girlfriend with that same sentiment, anti-Kaepernick sentiment, thought that way, you know. She's not the only one. She's the only one who admits it, but she's not the only one.
Yeah. So, you know, I do like the fact that she had the candor to come out and say, hey, you know, this is what I was looking at, but, and she had the enough fortitude to apologize. All right. Next one up, next subject up is, are you surprised more players didn't opt out of the season?
No, I'm not. You know, like I said, I have respect, you know, for those people, the guys who did opt out, that's their right. You don't have to play. If you want to play, if you want to retire early, that's out of the season, you're worried about health concerns, that's your business. I respect that's your choice. If, you know, can't force you to play. But I think a lot of guys, they love the game of football. They miss the game of football. They don't want to miss their life, miss out on their livelihood and something they enjoy doing. Because if you sit out, you take a year out of your career. I mean, it's sure this is what it is. So I think a lot of these guys are loving the game. They want to give it a go, at least give it a try. They were kicking themselves. They didn't at least try. That's why I'm so disappointed in the Big Ten. SEC, another conference, is giving it a shot, give it a go, see what's going to happen. Well, but we can talk about that. But yeah,
I'll say this about the college game before we move on. All right, here's my deal with the University of Michigan. And I mean, this is the Big Ten Conference. The Big Ten Conference and a couple of presidents in the Big Ten Conference are medical doctors, right? I think you know what's going on with the country. And I think that they're going to be end up being on the right side of history. I understand people want sports. I'm a person who's going into the sports industry. So, of course, I want sports. However, I have to look at it like this. And this is how I look at it as a parent and as an individual who look at the college athletes. College athletes are amateurs, right? In the NFL and in Major League Baseball and NBA, those are paid professional athletes. And the situation with them is different. I live in North Carolina, right? What did North Carolina do? Chapel Hill just shut down. They had students on campus for a week and shut down. That is the underlying issue with college athletics. You cannot treat college athletes different than regular students. If you do not have regular students on campus taking classes, and you cannot have fans in the stands, you cannot have college athletes playing on the football field. It just doesn't make sense to me. There aren't paid athletes to come into. You can't treat them like the same as professional athletes. If you're going to pay them to be on campus and to have that liability of catching COVID or spreading that COVID, okay, fine. Because guess what? The college isn't going to be, they're not going to be liable for a player catching COVID-19 and dying.
Right. But can I say first, yes, but you know what? A lot of ADs and presidents say they lost a lot of money when they canceled the NCAA tournament. If they lose football, they're going to lose, like Barry Alvarez, Wisconsin coach, is one guy, said that Wisconsin will lose $100 million alone if there's no football season. So in a way, they are like professional sports. But you know, I mean, the guys.
Is it more important to make $100 million or is it more important than the health and safety of the college athlete? Do you making my point for me? You're making my point for me. You're making it for me.
The Big Ten, you hear about this though, like a lot of the players, parents of the Big Ten, today they were on protest in front of the Big Ten headquarters. And what's hypocritical about the commissioner, Kevin Warren, he canceled the season, but yes, so it's going to be able to play down in Mississippi State.
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, what's going to happen is that those college are going to try to have a season. I'm telling you right now, all those college football is not going to play a season. It won't be. It may, you may get one. If you get a week or two, you may get that. But I'm telling you right now, if you look at how COVID works, it you have all these clusters at these schools. You had 80-something kids, and you had a whole bunch of players at Oklahoma State out there in the Big 12 who said they're going to play. I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at the science. I'm looking how this thing works. And these conferences that are talking about playing are in the South, where we're having the biggest outbreak of COVID right now. North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Texas, yeah. Louisiana, Mississippi, all of those states right now are hot spots for COVID. And guess what's coming around the corner in the fall? Cold and flu season. I'm telling you, it's not going to work until they can get this thing under control. I could see if they had a vaccine, or even if people were out here doing the right thing, wearing a mask in public, but you can't bubble college athletes like you can pro athletes. It's just not the same, because then you're going to have college students protesting because you're giving the college athletes more than that you give a regular student. How are you going to have them on campus? Okay, even they're on campus taking classes online, but you send the other students home because of COVID. That doesn't make sense to me, right? That's not fair. You cannot treat college athletes like you can pro athletes. You're not paying them. You're not liable. You know, look at the liability cost. So look at the, okay, I'll tell you like this. If a parent says, okay, my son can go play football, right? There's a quarterback down there at Georgia State who just opted out of the season. You know why? Had a heart condition from COVID. If he'd have died during the season or something happened to him while he was playing football, his parents would sue the university, because guess what? They'll be liable for him for something that happened to him on the football field, or something that happened to him during a practice that he caught COVID, or something that happened to him while he was playing, and they sued the university. How many universities would get sued if a player got sick from COVID and had a terminal illness from the virus, or had long-term effects that they couldn't play football again?
Well, what's the thing? I guess the players of this special circus had signed waivers, and you know,
I'm trying to tell you, that waiver would be. I'm telling you, if that waiver would not work, I'm telling you, because there's too much liability at stake. You're talking about big time. Say somebody like what's his name, Lawrence at Clemson, right? The one guy that was leading the charge for the we want to play, right? Say he goes down, Trevor Lawrence goes down with COVID, right? He can't play football ever again, right? Something happens to him when he has this condition, like the Georgia State quarterback, which was a side effect of the COVID. He can never play football again in his life. You know how many millions of dollars that the school will be liable to for him if that happens? His parents would sue the crap out of Clemson. I'm trying to tell you, it's different. It's different for, I've been preaching this, it's different for college athletes because of the fact that you have circumstances that's beyond the control of or whatever pro team has. They have different circumstances. You cannot control all the students on the college campus. Colleges have been shutting down. Notre Dame shut down. Come on. This is the type of stuff that I understand. I love sports with all my heart, and I want to see my Wolverines play on Saturday like any other football fan. But you know what? I'd rather have my Wolverines healthy and play on Saturdays in the spring and play two seasons next calendar year, then play one season, then play this season and have one player go down with COVID. That's my stance. That's my stance. But hey, you got your stance, man. You say that, you know, it's good for them to play. Make your case. Make your case for it.
The players themselves, the majority, they want to play. The parents are protesting. You know, these Big Ten are being, you know, they're protesting. I think that, you know, Jim Harbaugh, head coach of Michigan says it can work if they follow protocols in college. I mean, because Ken Harbaugh wants to play, things can work. Other coaches think it can work. Not all of them, but others. You know, there are some parents that got concerns. There are players who have concerns, but the vast majority, they want to play. And yes, I want this, you know, I love this time of year. I look forward to my Lions and Wolverines every year. I love, you know how much I love them. Yeah. I want to see them safe. I will, you know, but I agree, you know, it's just unknown. I guess you can't control college players like you can NFL or NBA and playing in a bubble like Walt Disney World. It's disappointing, but will it be any better in the spring or next fall 2021? I hope so. That's all I can say.
I mean, I hope so too. You know what? And I'll say this, and I understand the money part because some schools, they have their operating costs is built on the athletic program. I get that. Some schools, you know, they don't have big donors. You know, they get their majority of their money from, you know, ticket sales and you know, games and merchandise. And I get it. I understand it. However, to me, I think that that athlete's life is more important than them risking it to play a game they're not getting paid to play yet.
And you know what? You raise a good point, too, what you just said there. All the money that this, even Ohio State said they're going to lose a whole lot of money and their budget's going to be shot. This proves one thing, that these college athletes deserve to get a stipend more than just a free education.
Yep.
I mean, they deserve to get paid something. This whole thing is proving that, yeah, that these college boys, they're bringing a lot of money to these universities. I mean, look at all the money, TV revenue they make. It's, you know, like you said, merchandising. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate Ohio State, but look how much money Trey Young's jersey sells for, you know.
Yeah.
And what's his name? The running back just left. Ezekiel Elliott and the other guy, their jerseys sell for a lot of money.
J.K. Dobbins,
Yes, they make themselves a lot of money, but the players, they can't see a dime of that money. So, yep. It wasn't for the players, the university was willing to make no money. So, one of the things the COVID case brought out is how much money will be lost if there's no season. And the players deserve to get something because no players, no money.
Right.
So, yeah.
Understandable. All right. Last few things, real quick, the COVID face mask, Oakley is releasing a second version of their, mouth guard. They had a prototype come out already. We talked about that a few shows ago. There's only two Lions of five signed up to wear the COVID shield. And only two of those guys are using it. I just think that, you know, like anything, you're going to have to, you know, a trial period. They probably need to come out with something a little bit lighter, maybe with something a little more breathable. But, you know, shout out to Oakley for trying to have something where to keep the player safe.
Yes. I want to see, you know, it's a whole new world, a whole new ball game, no pun intended. So we got to take as many safety precautions. If there's not going to be no college football, please let it be NFL, Lord. Please give me the NFL. I'm taking all away from you.
I feel you, my man. I feel you. All right, last one. You brought it up a little bit in the opening of the show.
Yes.
The Seattle rookie. Come on, bruh. Come on,
Come on, man.
What? I mean, dude.
He's the undrafted rookie, but he has a long shot to make the team as it is. I mean, he's not Russell Wilson. Not a guaranteed contract. We are living in a bubble. And some, you know, the season is on shaky ground, hanging on by a thread. We hope it can get through, and everybody's trying their best to make it work. They quarantine the players in the hotel. He's going to try to sneak a woman into the hotel.
If the picture that's going around is the right person that they're trying to say who this is, there is no way in Sam Hale that she could disguise herself as a football player. It ain't even close. She ain't even big as a kicker.
I mean, so he let his the little head do the thinking for him. I mean, he's not a star player.
And I'll say this, you know, and I don't know what he was thinking, and you know, and I don't know if, you know, that was his, you know, the greatest love of his life or whatever. But come on, bro. You trying to make the squad.
Now, undrafted free agent. No guaranteed contract.
Come on, dog. You got to
be. Come on, man.
You got to do better than that, bro. You got to do better than that.
You never get another shot at all, you know?
I wish the young man luck. Hopefully, you know, he can find another team to take a shot on who were signing him. But it's going to be hard just because of the fact that NFL wants players who can think and you know, and have good judgment skills. You know, sometimes the players, they're fall through the crack. Of course, you know, you got plenty of knuckleheads in the NFL, but you can't try to come into the league that way, especially undrafted, because you're still trying to prove yourself. So he might catch on somewhere, you know, maybe CFL or something like that. If they play a season, maybe he can catch on up there and, you know, and make a team. But you know, bruh, I don't know what you was thinking about that one. All right, my man, Shawnee J, good show. That was 2 points conversing this week. Hey, before we get out of here, thank you for tuning in to the Die Hard Den podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell so you know when you're getting fresh content from us. If you're watching on Facebook, hit the share button, hit the like button. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, thank you for listening to the Die Hard Den podcast. We appreciate the listen. Hey, for you guys, go out there and subscribe to our Facebook page. Shawnee J does a good job of keeping you guys up to date, and you can see the content from the show right there on our page. So, Shawnee J, it's time for us to go ahead and get on out of here. So, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
The main social media, I'm always on Facebook. You can find me as Sean Jennings, the most handsome Sean Jennings on Facebook. You know, that's me. And I'm also the head administrator of the Truest Lions, Detroit Lions fan. I'd be happy to add you. You know, I keep both. Please support our page. Please support our group. Please support our platform. We appreciate you. We want to grow our page. So.
Yeah.
There you have it.
All right. So I'm Kurt Steele. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Curtis Steele 14. You definitely can subscribe to our Facebook page. It's www.facebook.com/DieHardDenPodcast. Check out our YouTube channel. You know, just type in Die Hard Den Podcast and you'll see our logo up there on our banner. So we appreciate you coming in and listening to us. Please be safe out there. COVID is real. It's not a conspiracy. I'm not, you know, it's nothing political. I want everyone to be safe and be healthy and make it through the year and make it through this pandemic healthy. And I hope that we don't lose another human being to this horrible virus. So that's all for today. Hey, any last words to fans, Shawnee J?
Well, yes, I want you all to stay safe from COVID, and I wish the NFL gets to a safe season. You know, this COVID doesn't ruin it. I'm gonna miss college football this fall, but like I said, you know, I hope the SEC and the other conferences who are attempting to play and wait. I think it'll make sense if all the major conferences play in the spring. If you just can't have play in the fall and have play in the spring, that won't make no sense. We know as the season's kind of messed up, there will be no bowl games. I guess that the best thing teams will play for this year in college is the conference championship. There's no bowl games or national champion this year. It's like basketball.
Yeah. All right. So, for my man, Shawnee J, this is Kurt Steele of the Die Hard Den podcast, and we are out.